Okay. We are back, Harry Cooper and I, and remember, the address is sharkhunters@earthlink.net. If you'd like to get Hitler in Argentina for 20% off, just write and explain to Harry or his staff there that you heard the offer on the program tonight, and they will give it to you for $20 plus $8 shipping. So grab this book. It will give you an incredible look at reality and history. Okay, I got an email. It's time for one more song.
Okay.
Sorry.
Fine. I'd rather listen than sing.
Yeah, well, probably not the only one. All right, let's see here. Here we go.
Must remain with the sun and the rain, or its lovely promise won't come true. To each his own, to each his own, and my own is you. What good is a song if the words just don't belong? And a dream must be a dream for two. No good alone, to each his own. For me there's you. If a flame is to grow, there must be a glow. To open each door, there's a key. I need you, I know, I can't let you go. Your touch means too much to me. Two lips must insist on two more to be kissed, or they'll never know what love can do. To grow, there must be a glow to open each door. There's a key. I need you, I know. I can't let you go. Your touch means too much to me. Two lips must insist on two more to be kissed. Or they'll never know what love can do. To each his own, I've found my own, one and only.
That it just doesn't get any better than that.
Wow. Brings back memories of high school sock hops.
Yeah.
Making out with Carol Garish in the back of my dad's 49 Ford.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. That song could have gone for an hour and you wouldn't get tired of it. It's just that beautiful.
You never get tired of the Platters. They're just incredible.
Yeah. Okay, back to work here. We're talking with Harry Cooper tonight about upcoming Shark Hunters trips and the special one, the Southern Redoubt trip, coming up next September, October.
Right.
And we're looking at pictures, so look under Harry's name and guests. If you're just joining us this hour, click on the link below there, and you'll go to the photo page. And we're on the second row of pictures. We're actually at picture number 2 in the second row, which shows a big crowd in the streets, and I have a hunch that's a lot of fun down there. Sid Oust took the photo. Yeah.
Yeah, Sid Oust is one of our members. He's been on, I think, 5 patrols so far. He's a professional photographer. And like I say, this was his 5th patrol. Most of the people... No, not most, but about half of the people on our tours are repeats. not the second time, but the third, fourth, fifth, and we've got some guys that have been with us six or seven patrols. Because even though it's in the same area, it's never the same twice. And this you're looking at, yes, you're right, this is the midway at Oktoberfest, which, surprisingly enough, is held in September, not in October. It had been October when Prince Ludwig was marrying a noble lady, and this was his wedding feast, and it was in October. However, the weather patterns have changed, and the second, third week in October is getting rainy, so they moved it forward. It ends on the first weekend in October. But you see on the left side there, a big tower that says Paulaner. That's one of the beers. And we go there in the late afternoon, because if you try to go there in the evening, you just ain't going to get a place. You can't even move in the evening. It's so jammed up.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you switch over to photo 9, that's inside one of the beer halls. And everybody's having such a good time. We sat at they're all big picnic tables. We sat at a picnic table. We scattered. My group scattered all over the place. There was me and two others, Victor and Ezio. We sat at a table with people we had never known before. By the time we were ready to leave, Victor and the lady sitting next to him were getting along real great with her husband sitting across the table from him. And just everybody was just having a hell of a good time.
Yeah, I remember a stranger is just a friend you hadn't met yet, right?
Well, that's true. That's true. And if you look at photo number 10, there's a stranger I had met. She was the featured singer. And she had they had the a big platform about 10 feet up in the air with the band, and she was right at the front of it because she was the featured singer. And then she came down. I don't know why.
Looks like you're trying to squeeze a high note out of her.
It was working. We were singing Delilah.
Very good.
Yeah, she did pretty good. But as for me, Tom Jones doesn't have to worry about me displacing him as the Delilah singer. But we just have so much fun. And the guy you see off to the left there, just to see his face,
mm-hmm.
that was her brother. That's
good.
Why she was at our table. It would be nice to think she came down just because I was there, but that just wasn't
I'm not going to ruin your happiness. Maybe she did.
No, that was her brother. She was just a sweetheart and spoke excellent English. Her brother did, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have so much fun there. Everybody has fun. And everybody meets the person next to them. And, it's the way it should have been years ago instead of shooting at each other.
Yep, now, absolutely.
Yeah. Now we get into the serious stuff. The next photo, image 11 of 49 or whatever the heck it says.
11. Yeah.
That's the top of the Luftwaffe Memorial. This is in Nuremberg now.
Mm-hmm.
We go to Nuremberg, which is where the party rallies were. Very famous for that. This is the top of that memorial, and it is in the shape of a crashed airplane. And the only reason this survived and was not destroyed after World War II, because anything to do with World War II was verboten in Germany. But this was a World War I.
That's how they got around it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And on the one side, it says 1914-1918. And on the other wing, then they added 1939-1945.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been moved around Nuremberg several times to where it sits now, which is close to the party rally grounds. Look at the next picture, number 12. It's empty now, but each one of those square pillars sticking up had a brazier on it, and during the ceremonies they had fires going out of them. And there are tons of people all over there, you know, in military formation, and this is where Hitler did the blood flag ceremony.
Right.
Where he would come along with the blood flag, the flag that had the blood of the guys that got killed in Munich in the beer hall putsch, and he would touch it to each one of the regimental standards symbolically, transmitting the power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Next, now we see our photographer, Sid Oust. That's Sid on the right.
Sid has long hair. It's amazing.
No, that wasn't Sid. Sid's the guy on the right. The girl on the left is taller than me. When I'm not overly tall, but I'm average height, but she was about 2 inches taller than me, and she was doing a film shoot with her girlfriend with the American flag as a prop. And I asked, you know, where was she from in America? Because she spoke excellent English. No, she's mm-hmm. never been to America. Mm-hmm. She just loves the flag. And they were on the stadium taking photos. There's a photo of me with her, too. But, you know, we'll put Sid up there because Sid's done a lot of work for us.
She's wearing a crown. Was she ceremonially gifted with that crown somehow?
No, we asked her, was she a beauty pageant winner or something? No, just an affectation that she had.
Hmm. All right.
She was pretty.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. All right, very good. Number...
Next, of course, 14.
Yeah, that's the big one.
Everybody knows this. This is the tower that, you know, what the heck they call that, the tribune, the tribunal. This is where everybody sat during the party rallies, and this is one of the two ways Hitler made his money. There were hundreds of thousands of people there, and you mm-hmm. had to pay mm-hmm. to get in.
I didn't know that.
I didn't
that's,
either.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's part of where Hitler made his money. You see the doorway those people are going by. That's where he came out.
Uh-huh.
And you'll notice he walked down the stairs, kind of like he... And it was supposed to be symbolic, coming down out of the clouds.
Got it.
And then as he got to the bottom, he came up a couple stairs to the platform where he would speak.
He had a microphone and a podium there.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. So we go there. Everybody goes there. We can all each stand on the spot where Hitler stood.
So that was a big fundraiser for the party, for him.
It sure was, yeah. And they mm-hmm. did it every year, mm-hmm. starting even before the one that you see, Triumph of the Will, the 1932, I think it was 34. The ones before that, there was one that was a silent film. And they didn't get it quite ready in time. They had this huge, big eagle made out of wood, and it looked exactly like the eagle that the evil sheik had in the movie Romancing the Stone. Wonder where they got that.
No wonder.
So mm-hmm. much of Leni Riefenstahl's cinematography in there. Anyhow, most people go there. Nobody ever wonders what's inside this big building. Because there's a sign there that says Eingang verboten,
mm-hmm.
which we know means Harry's welcome here. So click on number 15. Now you're inside. We're in the famous Golden Room.
How did they... I don't know how this can still be around, why it wasn't torn down, the gold taken off, it's a really a remarkable thing that it escaped to me.
Right. So you look at this picture and also at number 16, same mm-hmm. place, only mm-hmm. a different shot.
Yeah.
There's that huge brazier there. They had one on either end of the tribunal outside with a massive blue flame coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
They finally found the other one about 3-4 years ago. It was in a public swimming pool area. It was a wildly painted kiddie pool. But anyhow, Hitler would get off a train behind this place.
You mean there were two of those braziers inside, and one of them ended up as a little kiddie pool?
Yeah, these were outside during the party rallies.
I see.
Kind of like the armrests, and this is brought inside for safekeeping now, and the other one was a kiddie pool, and brought it back, and it's sitting outside.
That's funny.
So, anyhow, when the rallies were... coming together, the people would be on the right side of this picture, way out, and Hitler would get off the train behind this building, which is to the left side of where you're looking. He would come into this big room where they would have a big reception for Hitler and all the important people. And then you see the stairway at the far end on the right. He'd go up those stairs, or there's another one kind of on the right behind where I'm standing with the camera, or Sid. And up there, the first level, there's offices. The second level, there's more offices. And we go in them. There's nothing left in these offices. The wooden door frames are gone. There's nothing but brick.
Right.
But we go in there. Nobody else goes in there. And now they finally passed a law some years ago that anything built during the days of the Third Reich was now a national heritage, and they can't destroy it. They're finally starting to renovate this place. Not renovate it, but stop it from deteriorating any further.
I wonder how that happened.
I don't know. I don't know, because they're very, very much World War what? Adolf who?
Yeah.
You know.
And, well, that's the millennials, I guess.
I don't know who it is, but the laws over there are incredibly different than ours. And I have to caution all our travelers when we go over there, you don't start goose-stepping with your right arm in the air. You're going right to prison. If you wear any clothing with a swastika or the Sigrun SS, you're in trouble. So we just go there, enjoy the scenery, and stay out of trouble. We've never had anybody get in trouble yet, but we don't want to tempt fate.
No, you never will. It's not going to happen. You're just there for the best possible reasons, and people, they respect that.
Yeah,
okay.
For history.
Yeah, of course. Next photo, number 17.
17. This is the first of our really unique books. We've got lots of other books, and the other books, each chapter is a separate standalone memory of a different veteran. 13 in a row for the U-boat memories, 3 in a row for the Luftwaffe guys. Mm-hmm. But this, these volumes, U-boat War and Photos, are larger books. They're 8.5 by 11. They're about 300 pages thick, and we take the U-boats. We start in this one from U-1 up into U-30-something, I think. It gives, for each boat, it gives what type it was, what yard built it, when she was launched, mm-hmm. when she was commissioned, what was her feldpost number. Mm-hmm. In other words, you wrote to your buddy on the boat. You don't write to him at U number 46. You write to feldpost number M12345. It gives the names of all the skippers. It tells its final fate, where it was sunk or destroyed. And it gives the latitude, longitude. Gives a complete history of each skipper and where they were born, their military records,
yeah,
what
remarkable promotions
they got.
Yeah,
yeah, and then all the postings for that submarine, where she was, what flotillas, what ships she attacked, what unique patrols she went on. With photos, photos.
Your work is unique in the world. And my question is, in Germany, do they have books like these in Germany to memorialize historically U-boats and other aspects of Germany fighting the war against communism? Because that's really what the war was about.
Right, right.
Do they have books like these in German, very many?
I've
war
never
books?
Seen any. I can't say they don't exist, but I've never seen any.
Uh-huh. Well, thank God you did this, because I'm sure a lot of people in Germany have your books. Lots.
Yeah, this is an interesting photo, because that's the guy in the white cap there. That's Otto von Bülow, commander of U-404, was mm-hmm. it, I think. Anyhow, he was with us some years ago. He's passed on now, but he was with us some years ago, and I had my family there. He was all crippled up with arthritis, all bent over, and my wife was there, and he shoved a bunch of guys out of the way to sit down next to my wife, who he described as the loveliest blossom on the most beautiful rose in all of Germany. The guy was a sailor
wow.
through and through.
Yeah.
Very nice man, very nice man. He, like so many of the skippers, gave us their memories. This is not research in a library. This is right from the guy who was there. Von Bulow and I wrote back and forth so many times, and the same with Kretschmer. I had a sleeping room in Kretschmer's house. Hardegen, who sank the first ship in American waters, I've been to visit him I don't know how many times, and he passed away less than a year ago at age 105. And Top, and the list goes on. They were just great guys.
Amazing. Amazing. The whole story is amazing.
Then Photo 18 and is the volume 2 in this series. Mm-hmm. Photo 19, that is the third book, and it covers from U-54 up to U-95, and it just was released this morning.
Oh.
Now, you can get these books. You can also get these books as e-books through Kindle.
Very good.
Or you can order them from us, and they come to you hand-signed by the author. That's me. And somebody told me they've seen them on eBay for $40 or $50 more than the list price just because I signed it. Big deal.
Well, nice. You deserve it. Good.
But it's so much fun putting them together, and I get to relive it because, for instance, that cover photo on Volume 3, that's U-67. It got sunk. There were only three survivors. One of them was a member of Shark Hunters. He got to be buddies with the Navigator Bombardier on the American plane that sank him. And he got the guy's name was the American was Morris Grinstad. He got him to join Shark Hunters, too.
Oh, what a story.
And they both wound up living in Texas, got to be best buddies. And now they're both gone, unfortunately.
Amazing story.
Yep.
Really, so many. Okay, next up we have something out of the Middle Ages.
It's a dragon. We go on down to southern Austria to the town of Klagenfurt, and this is the emblem of that region, Carinthia, or Carrington as they say there, and that's the dragon, otherwise known as the Lindworm, and the locals tell me that this was a real dragon back in medieval days, and it roamed around all over Europe, but it could only eat virgins. And when it got to Klagenfurt, the poor thing just starved to death because there were no virgins.
Oh, that's why it's still, I got it.
Mm-hmm. That's why it turned to stone.
Wow. Okay. Time for a little break here. But Todd, instead of the break, because I'm getting some nice emails. I'm going to play another piece of music instead of the commercials.
So I heard back from Danny again.
Good. Good. Yeah. Good man. Wonderful people out there. All right. Here's another one for you, and I think some of you will remember this.
Thank you.
raining all the time. Keeps raining all the time.
Remember that one, Admiral?
Sure do. I'm surprised you didn't go into some of their more famous ones, like Smoke Gets in Your Eyes.
Oh, they're all
the biggest one, My
yeah.
Prayer.
Yeah, I've got it. Well, we still have a half an hour. Don't worry.
Yeah, it was really excellent music back in those days.
I like to pick sometimes the ones that people aren't too familiar with. So
right.
That was
a
good one.
I don't know if I ever told you or not, but I met the killer, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, after his fall from grace, instead of $10,000 a night, he was getting $150 a night doing one-nighters here and there. And there was a lounge near where I used to live in a suburb of Chicago called the Manor Lounge. Then he was performing there, and during a break, he and I sat on the fender of his stretched Lincoln and talked about life in general.
Fun.
Nice guy.
Yeah, I'm sure he was. Just a regular guy when he got away from the roar of the crowds and the happy times that
yeah.
kind of lifestyle usually visits upon the entertainers. Too much happy times.
Yeah. In my yeah. opinion, he was he and Little Richard were the two greatest of all time. I know Elvis fans aren't going to want to hear that, but that's...
Oh, Little Richard? Amazing. I've got a lot of Little Richard material. Yeah. Well, they were giants.
Yep.
Let's be honest about it.
Little Richard had a unique band. Him at the piano and about 47 tenor saxophones.
That was a great band he had.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the 50s where, you had to have a saxophone in your band or several of them. Otherwise, it wasn't official.
That's right. That's right. All right. Let's go back to our pictures here.
Okay,
and we're
we'll
at
leave
21.
The dragon behind us here.
Yeah.
Go to 21. One of the things we do while we're there in southern Austria, we take a cruise on the Werther See. That's what it's called, the Werther See. It means Werther Lake. It's just absolutely magnificent. It looks like it fell right off a postcard. And it's usually pretty nice weather. And down below, on the main deck, they've got a snack bar. Where, of course, the food's a little bit overpriced, but, you're a captive audience like Disney World. And if you look closely at that mountain in the background, mm-hmm. you see a tall, skinny structure.
Yeah, I do.
That's called the, what the hell is it? Kugelspitz, I think, which means the ball at the top. From up there at the observation tower, you can see four countries, Italy, Serbia, Croatia, and Austria.
You can go up that. That's an observation
yeah,
tower.
Uh-huh. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we go out on the most of the people you see here are part of my group, just having a hell of a nice time.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. All right, coming up this September, get in touch with Harry at Shark Hunters if you have any idea that you might be able to go. Let him tell you about it. It's quite affordable. I know it's not cheap, but it's still quite affordable. But the memories you come back with are priceless.
It's a whole bunch less money than Disney World. And I'm not knocking Disney World. It's a great place. It's only an hour and a half from where I'm sitting right now. But there's a whole bunch less money. And your listeners can just send me an email and say, hey, let me know the details. And we don't have them quite nailed down yet. We've got a few more things. We're looking mm-hmm. at 3 days into Croatia because in some of the offshore islands, we've just found out that they had bunkers and tunnels built into there.
Uh-huh.
And we're arranging for boats to bring us out there, cruise boats to bring us out there for those 3 days. So they can just send me an email and say, hey, let me know when we got the tour ready. And I can email them back and let them know the scoop. And if they want to come with us, God bless them. We're happy to have them. If not, okay.
Very good. Anybody. Well, let's hope that this is a really good tour. They're always wonderful, but the more the merrier. Now, next, we won't be able to get through all the photos, so maybe you want to jump ahead if you want. Anything special that we need to see?
Okay, let's see. Jump ahead. ahead, 25, but then let's look at 26. That is, we have a special dinner in that little room, used to be the chapel of that castle. It's a medieval castle, and that's where they do some role-playing.
That's where you did the performance.
That's right, and we have a short mini-clip on that. If your listeners go to sharkhunters.com and then click on multimedia, then click on videos. We got a whole bunch of little short videos, but this one is about 30 minutes long. And one guy was the king, that was me. Another guy was the priest. Another was a judge. Another was the ogre. And we just had a hell of a time. And then we got our dinner. We ate on wooden slabs, like in the knights did in the medieval days, a chunk of beef. A chunk of pork and a slab of beef ribs and some fried chicken. But darn good. Darn good. And that's all part of the, that's all included in the tour price.
No ketchup, huh?
I didn't ask for ketchup. I didn't think of it. I'm sorry.
I'm kidding.
Then you just kind of breeze over the next few. That's a bunker system we're going to. That's 27, 28, 29.
What's 20? There's a tank in 29. What's that?
That's all part of that bunker system that is right on what was the border between us and the evil empire, looking across a valley at a similar setup that the Soviets had. This is a Cold War bunker. Then the next picture, 30.
20, is that a Russian tank?
Let's take a look here.
29? Sid, Sid took the picture.
Sid took the picture. No, it looks like it might be a T-34 at first glance, but I don't believe it's a T-34.
All right.
Then the next picture, 30. Right now, there's nothing there. I've been going there for 20 years. I've never seen this in operation at all, but it used to be a guard post at the bottom of the Obersalzberg, and anybody going up there had to pass this guard first and then on up the hill. There were more guard spots because that's where Hitler lived when he was in Bavaria. Hitler, Goering, Bormann, Speer. Then if you look at the next one, which is number
How would 31. That, Harry, tell our listeners how they'd get there. From, let's say they were coming from Berlin or somewhere. They would travel by train. There was a train station there.
Oh, yeah, there's the train station is still there, and it's still got one section that was Hitler's personal waiting room or whatever, and there he'd receive special guests. It's now, it keeps changing. It was a bookstore a while ago. I think now it's a bar, but I'm not sure.
All right. Okay, next.
31, that is the foundation of the little cottage Hitler rented when he got out of prison. He and Hess would go there in the
Rudolf
daytime.
Hess.
Rudolf Hess. They were living in a hotel across the street, but they'd come here, and this is where he finished writing his book, Mein Kampf,
which
means
is
My Struggle.
The second biggest selling book in the world right now.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? That's just bizarre.
Second only to the Holy Bible, and that's where he made the other part of his money. Part of it was from the rallies, and part of it was from the book sales. Then 32 is that long hallway. Once you get up on top of Kelstein Mountain, you go down this long tunnel to the elevator that takes you up to the Eagle's Nest.
That's a beautiful tunnel for walking. Look at that.
Oh, it is. It is. And it's the exact same tunnel without change that it was when Bormann had it built for Hitler's 50th birthday in 1939.
Polished concrete floor,
looks
like.
Yep, it is. And then 33, that is the red marble fireplace that was a gift from Mussolini. That's in the main...
Ah, red Italian marble, yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's in the main room that had been a meeting room. Right now it's a restaurant. Good food. I love that food up there. And of course, it's a little overpriced, but again, it's like Disney World. They got you on the property, and you can't go nowhere else.
Look at number 34. Look at the view.
Yeah, that's from up there. And if you know where to look, and I'm not going to waste your time trying to describe it, but way off in the distance, there's a long white building, and that is the castle at Salzburg. And you're up here in Bavaria, and you can see all the way to the castle in Salzburg, which is about 20 kilometers away at least. Hmm. Hell of a view.
Yeah, it's amazing. All right, and, amazing.
35, this is also up there at the Eagle's Nest. This is one of the foundations of the anti-aircraft gun emplacements. That I don't take my group there. I let them know where it is and tell them if they go there, they're on their own, because you have to go over a fence that says, don't go over this fence, because about where I'm standing, where Sid is standing, where he took this picture, if you take two steps to the right, you have about 6,000 feet between you and the end of the ball game, straight down.
Wow.
And the guy who was in command of the anti-aircraft defenses was Colonel Frank. He was a member of Shark Hunters also, but he's passed on.
He was in charge of all the anti-aircraft defenses for the mountain there?
For that mountain, yeah. Not only the anti-aircraft guns, but also the smoke generators, et cetera, and all the defensive works. Then we look at 37 and 38. If I'm going too fast, slow me down.
No, it's fine.
37 and 38. This is where Hitler's home stood, the Berghof, which I believe just means a gentleman's mountain retreat or something like that. This is not part of his house. This was the retaining wall to keep the mountain from coming down onto the house. And if you know where to look, which I'm not going to point out now because it's too complicated, there's a tiny little hole that if you're not too fat and if you know where to find it, you can drop down into the basement of the Berghof. And then with your miner's hat on, you go all through there. I have not done it, but that's because I have a group with me and I can't very well say, excuse me, I'm going hunting.
You know, what's bizarre to me is that the structure, the Berghof, survived and was finally demolished, what was it, in the 90s or something like that?
That's correct, because after the war, it was under the control of the United States Army.
Yeah.
And nobody could do anything there. And as soon as the Army moved out, I think it was 1995, thereabouts, and gave it back to the Bavarian government. Oh, boy, here come the bulldozers.
Yeah. Stupid.
Hitler's home, Goering's home, Bormann's home.
Totally stupid. Beyond stupid. Think of the money that they would have, if they had been smart. They kept the Eagle's Nest.
Because that's making tons of money.
They could have restored the home. I don't know. It's nuts.
People we calculate that they're making about $10,000 at least per day on the Eagle's Nest.
Right. Imagine what they'd be knocking down if they had Bormann's and Goering's and Hitler's residences
still there. They wouldn't have a national debt. They wouldn't even think about a national debt. They'd be loaning money to other countries.
Probably. Yeah. All right. Crazy stuff. But you'll get to see all of these things if you go on the Shark Hunters Patrol.
Absolutely correct. We'll skip lightly over 39 and 40. That's inside the Red Bull hangar. Red Bull, the energy drink. They're headquartered there in Salzburg, and they have this beautiful display with all sorts of warbirds, including a U.S. Army Air Force B-25 and a P-38 Lightning and a Navy Corsair, and they fly these things. When we were there, the Corsair was sitting out on the hard pan outside the museum, and here comes the pilot with his helmet, gets in there, and here, pakata, and then whoom, it starts up.
He flew it?
Yeah, he put the wings down, and he took off. The P-38 was already up, and he flew up to join a P-38. Talk about a tough job. How many guys would kill for that job?
Yeah. Well, that was an aircraft that served exclusively in the Pacific Theater, the Corsair. I don't think they had them in Europe.
right. That was a Navy plane, and the Navy didn't have that much combat in Europe. That was, the Navy was in the South Pacific, pretty much.
Yeah.
So then we skip on down 41. That's an interesting one. This is a factory inside a mountain. There's a tunnel complex of, I think, 8 parallel tunnels with a long tunnel across the back joining them. And this was an underground factory. The Reichs built about 4 times as much stuff underground as they did above ground, because after about 1942 or so, they were getting bombed to smithereens.
Well, anything built would get knocked down.
Yeah. Right. So this was a, this particular hall was a factory to build brakes for trucks and tanks. And in this complex, there's another tunnel that has a train in it. No, not full of Nazi gold, like like these so-called treasure hunters in Poland have discovered a trainload of Nazi gold, but they haven't found it yet. They know it's there, but they haven't found it. This train was just delivering raw material and was going to be taking out finished
and
brake parts.
Is it, did it get buried, or is it walled off? What's the deal?
It's walled off. It was in its own little tunnel, and then the war ended, so they just walked away and left it there. So
why don't they open it up? This is another lost source of revenue.
I know. It would have been great. But what can I say? The only revenue they're getting out of this, now this tunnel is run, controlled, has a lease, whatever, by a historic organization there in this little town. It's on the shore of the Mondsee, which means Moon Lake. But there is one other hall that a rifle club has leased out, and they're using it for their shooting gallery. That's it. All the rest of them are closed.
Where was this complex?
By a place called Abensee, which means Aben Lake. It's on the northern edge of Austria, not far from Salzburg. It's a bit east of Salzburg.
Right.
Now, you look at 42. We did convince the caretaker, very nice gentleman, to open the gate, and we got into some of the unfinished parts of the tunnel. Number 42 looks like they probably had diesel generators on those pedestals. And then if you look at 43...
Oh, 43 is a map.
That's it.
There's a map of the...
We were in, I think, Tunnel 5 or Tunnel 8. I can't remember which.
Look at that. Just one of many underground complexes.
Oh, God, yes. And we're finding more and more of them, and we're going to be adding them to our trips later on after we... You know, you can't just show up with a busload of people and start tromping through places like this. You got to get, got to find out who's in charge, and you got to make sure you got permission to do it. Otherwise, you don't do it.
That's all still open, the tunnels, I assume. They're not open to people, but they're all there.
They're all there. That's correct. And like you say, they're not open to the public. And some of them have been walled off. But, I mean, if you come by yourself, I've done like that. I've gone through little holes just enough to squeeze my fat tummy through and then put on my miner's lamp and go a mile into a mountain. Taking pictures. A lot of these pictures are, like I say, up on the short clips on sharkhunters.com under multimedia.
All right. Okay.
So,
next.
We like lakes, so here we are. That's the boat we take on the Königssee, which means the King's Lake. And it goes, like, I think 8 kilometers back. It's an alpine lake. This is where Eva Braun used to come to exercise and whatever. And we passed number 45. We passed this. Used to be a monastery, St. Bartholomew. And we go past that to the other end, get off, walk around there. There's a rock there that Hitler used to like to stay by and take his picture, so we all get our picture there. And then on the way back, we stop here at St. Bartholomew because they got a great restaurant there. All these historic places somehow manage to have restaurants in them. Imagine that. Then the pièce de résistance, I think, 46, 47, 48, and 49. These are the tunnels in the bunker system that ran underneath Hitler's home, Goering's home, Bormann's home, and the Hotel Zum Turken, which is where Hitler's personal guard stayed when he was on the mountain. The government has gone inside and walled them off to where you can't go under Hitler's home or mm-hmm. Goering's home or Bormann's mm-hmm. home. But this is just a huge complex, and we take people to where the door is for Hitler's exit in the side of the mountain. Hmm. Most people don't even know it's there. 46, Sid took this photo. He's already about 80 or 90 feet underground, and you see this massive stairway going down, another 70 feet probably, and at the very bottom you see three little holes. That's a machine gun nest there.
Tough to make it down those stairs, I would think.
Tough to make it down there,
look
yeah.
Look at that, yeah.
Then you
there's
look
a close-up
the,
of them. 48 shows the machine gun emplacement. That's
you
where
got
the
it.
Yeah, look at that.
That is correct. And you know, you figure, okay, if you're able to storm this and get around behind
yeah,
it,
right?
You can, but you can't because there ain't no behind it. They don't get in it from here. They go down another level and mm-hmm. go along another tunnel and then up from underneath this thing. So you can't go around behind them and get them. There ain't no behind them. They're well engineered, well done, and these tunnels all have ventilation system. They have gas lockouts, you know, airlocks. Underneath the floor on the right side as you're going down, there's about a 1 foot wide trough that's covered.
Uh-huh.
Goes all through them. That's got all the pipes in it for the water coming in and the wastewater going out. And along the wall, they've got the electrical cables. It's high tech stuff.
Yeah.
For 1940 something.
Yeah. There's a sign on picture number 47 on the wall.
Yeah.
Was that sign put on that wall when they built the tunnel?
No, this was put on by the people that own it. Some just to let you know. I'll give you a quick translation. The building of the bunker on the bunker complex began in middle August 1943.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, there it is in English down below there. Duh, here I thought it was pretty clever. Bunker construction started August 1943.
Very good.
And it's still intact because it was privately owned. Otherwise, it would have been gone.
Gone. All right, number 49, I see the Admiral there and his group.
Yep, and the guy off to the left, that's Sid Oust.
What's the green on the roof? Is that mold or is it paint?
Moss. It's moss.
Moss, okay.
Let's see, there's me in the black leather jacket. The guy with his back to the camera, with his hand in the air, that's Jeff Carson.
The Tunnel
Germans
King. Yeah.
Yep, the Tunnel King. If the Germans built tunnels in that area, he knew about it. He knows where everything is in that area. He's just an incredible fountain of information. The guy facing us with the floppy hat on, the big guy, that's Dag from Norway. He was the guy who was the ogre in our little play.
Oh, your play, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And the guy on the right with the tan cap, that's Sergeant Major Larry Kagan. He played the judge in that little scenario. He's, I think, 30 years U.S. Army. He retired as a sergeant major.
Mm-hmm.
And then he double-dipped like so many do. God bless him. And he's retired federal investigator.
Very good.
Very, very strong supporter of shark hunters.
All right.
Good guy.
We're going to play our last song, then we'll come back and tell everyone how to get in touch with you again. If you're interested in this tour or to buy the books, anything else. So here's another one that I'm sure a lot of you remember, and it is one of those songs just done perfectly. Listen to the last note. He just nails it right on the money. Oh, Todd, we're going to play a musical selection here.
Okay.
Right. It's better than that closing stuff. Here we go.
And no songbirds are singing. when the twilight is gone, you come into my heart, and here in my heart you will stay while I pray. My prayer is to linger with you at the end of the day, in a dream that's divine. In blue, with the world far away, and your lips close to mine. Still be the same for as long as we live.
There you go. One of the great greats.
Somehow I knew you'd play that, and I had a hell of a time not singing along with it, because I didn't want to ruin your show with me singing. But, man, I'll be digging out my old 45 RPMs later.
Yeah. Well, that was the last song of the dance, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I got all of these, because when I was a teenager in the middle of the 50s, I had a job after school selling shoes, but on my break and for supper, I'd dash on down to the local record store, and I'd empty trash cans and sweep up, and the guy paid me in records.
Nice.
And yeah, when I got my paycheck every Friday, I'd run down to the record store and buy more records. I have about 600 long play 33 and a third, which are now called vinyls.
Vinyls, yeah.
Yeah, and I've got, I think, 16 or 17 cases of 45 RPM records with 75 in each case. I've got Elvis Presley with Scotty
and
Bill.
All. Wow.
Elvis Presley on the Victor Corporation of Japan Limited label, and even some nobody ever heard of before.
Wow. Great.
Bobby Angel and the Hillsiders doing submarine racing.
We should do a program sometime on this. Maybe pull them out, we'll play them or something. Listen, we want to tell everyone again how to get information about the tour and how to get the books, and we're giving 20% off tonight to all of you listening if you just let Harry know, write to him at sharkhunters@earthlink.net and decide which book or all three of them, and you get 20% off. And how about the tour?
Right, or you can go to the website, and you can, for this one time only, you can buy any or all the books we have, 28 of them, and we'll make it $20 instead of $25
nice.
Each, plus, of course, $8 shipping. Uncle Sam is not known for his generosity.
Right.
The tours, just send us an email and say you want to be updated when the tour information comes out. No charge, we'll send it to you, and if
all
you
right.
come with us, God bless you. If don't, well... whatever.
Very
and in
good.
November, we're going down to Argentina to the very house where Hitler lived for 10 years after the war.
All
plus
right.
a lot of other places that was big with the Third Reich.
We will talk more about that. Thank you, Harry. Go get some sleep. Great program, as always.
Okay, yeah, I got to be back at work at 3 in the morning.
I hear you. Go rest. Thank
right.
you.
Take care. Good talking to you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Harry Cooper, sharkhunters.com. Thanks for being here. Back with you tomorrow night in 21 hours. Talk to you then.